find it interesting that our epistle this morning, Paul talks to the Corinthians about how they're not ready for solid food, but then Jesus gives us a whole lot of solid food in the Sermon on the Mount. The message from the Old Testament passage, from the book of Deuteronomy, is that there are two paths before us, death and life, blessing and curse. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has set forth the law under which the Jewish people are called to live. And in the passage that we heard moments ago, Moses is summarizing the purpose behind all of the law as he says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life." Choose life. But what does it mean to choose life over death? To choose blessing over curse? Moses tells us that it is by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances. We are now in our third of 4 weeks, during which we are hearing excerpts of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus provides the crowds and us with a deeper understanding of what it means to choose life, to walk in the ways of God, to love him and observe his commandments. 2 weeks ago, we heard the 9 blessings or beatitudes, which describes the character of the blessed community to which we have been called as Christians. A community in which we will find blessing upon those who are poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who are reviled, persecuted, and slandered on Jesus' account. Then last week, we heard Jesus using the metaphors of salt and light, saying, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world," to make it clear to us that this community to which we have been called, this community must be both distinct and visible. Through the teachings of those first 2 weeks, we see that we as God's church are called to be different. To use the word that I used last week, to be peculiar. And in particular, our differences can be seen in the ways in which we manifest those 9 blessings or beatitudes. Now this week we enter into a portion of the Sermon on the Mount known as the 6 antitheses, where Jesus introduces a certain rule or law with the phrase, "You have heard it said." And then once he has introduced that rule, Jesus uses the phrase, "But I say to you," to somehow deepen or offer further challenge to that ethical rule. This week we have heard the first four of those 6 antitheses, these dealing with anger, lust, faithfulness, and truth-telling. And next week we will hear the final 2, dealing with violence and love of one's enemies. As we reflect on the message behind these antitheses, it is important for us to remember something that Jesus said in last week's gospel. After having talked about our role as salt and light, Jesus speaks briefly on the law and the prophets, saying, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." And then he adds something that sounds incredibly daunting. He says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he launches into what we just heard, the six antitheses that follow. So it's helpful to understand that in these antitheses, Jesus is not overthrowing or abolishing Jewish law. Instead, he is fulfilling it by pointing to a deeper righteousness, a deeper meaning behind each rule, and calling us to live in accordance with the hope or the dream that God had in mind when he gave the Jewish people the law. Like Moses, Jesus is asking us to choose life. And so Jesus is telling the crowd and us that following him is not merely about following a set of rules, though we must pay attention to those rules and seek to live in accordance with Jesus' teaching. But more importantly, Jesus is calling us to seek the deeper meaning, the root, the purpose, the life behind the law. Jesus looks to the prohibition against murder and asks us to seek the deeper meaning, the deeper purpose behind that rule, that God wants us to be reconciled to one another. We must learn to be people who do not condemn or insult each other out of pride or anger, because such anger and pride leads to brokenness and at times will lead to violence. By saying, "Thou shalt not kill," God was not seeking a world in which his creatures merely refrain from killing one another, though that would be a wonderful thing. God wants us to resist pride and anger and all other temptations that prevent us from being reconciled, that prevent us from living in peace with one another. Jesus then looks to the prohibition behind the prohibitions against adultery and divorce and asks us to see the deeper purpose behind those rules. God wants us to be faithful to our promises to one another and to treat each other with dignity, to see each other as beloved creatures of God, not as objects to be used to fulfill our desires. In order to be faithful to our promises to one another, we have to be willing to exercise discipline over our indulgent thoughts before they become actions of betrayal. Finally, Jesus looks to the requirements of truth-telling when speaking under oath and calls us to a deeper understanding of our commitment to being truthful people. For the very fact that we have oaths is a recognition that we live in a world in which people lie, where people intentionally speak falsehoods. Of course, all of us are guilty of telling lies, and we do so primarily because of the perceived benefit that we think will come to us from doing it. Lies are fundamentally a tool of manipulation, and there are multiple layers of complicity in lies. Some are responsible for speaking the lies. Some are responsible for repeating the lies, and some are responsible for failing to challenge the lies. Sometimes the truth is painful or more complicated than we would like, and so we become complicit in lies by accepting easy lies rather than seeking difficult truth. But Jesus makes it clear that if we are to choose life, we are called to be truth tellers, though we may be able to manipulate each other with lies. We cannot manipulate God. And the words that we say are always spoken in the presence of God. And so, knowing that we are speaking in the presence of God, we must strive to tell the truth and to seek the truth at all times. Not because we have sworn an oath, but because we seek to be faithful to the reality of God's creation. A reality where, due to the presence of sin and brokenness, telling the truth is sometimes more painful than telling a lie. Seeking that deeper meaning, the deeper purpose, is what it means in Moses' words to choose life, to choose blessing. We are called to love the Lord our God, and inspired by that love, we seek to walk in his ways, to forsake anger, objectification, unfaithfulness, and deception. And when we fail and falter, to repent and seek reconciliation. We do these things not so we can say that we have followed the rules, but rather because we choose life. We seek to live in accordance with his will, so that we can seek his purpose for his creation, and thereby be a people who provide a witness to the world, so that we can be the salt of the earth and a light.